Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Cannae Inc.'s first quarter 2021 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, after the management's prepared remarks, we will have a question and answer session. Please note that this event is being recorded. Now, I'd like to hand the conference over to your speaker host today, Mr. Shao Kei Li, Board Secretary of the company. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our earnings conference call. The company's financial and operating results were released by our newswire services earlier today and are currently available online. Joining us today are our Chairman and CEO, Mr. Nan Gengzhang, and our CFO, Mr. Tong He. Mr. Matthew Li from ICR, our IR consulting firm, will conduct the English translation throughout the call. In addition, Mr. Xiaoming Lu, our SVP, will also be available during the question and answer session. Mr. Zhang will start the call by providing an overview of the company and the performance highlights for the quarter. Mr. He will then provide the details on the company's operating and the financial results for the period before we open the call up for your questions. Before we continue, I would like to refer you to our safe harbor statement in our earnings press release, which also applies to this call, as we will be making forward-looking statements. Please also note that we will discuss non-GAAP measures today, which are more thoroughly explained and reconciled to the most comparable measures reported under generally accepted accounting principles in our earnings release and the filings with the SEC. With that, I will now turn the call over to our Chairman and the CEO, Mr. Nan Gengzhang. Please go ahead, sir.
大家好，我是天南科技的董事长兼 CEO 张南宗。请允许我向大家简要介绍一下公司在2021年第一季度的情况。
Hello everyone, this is Nan Gengzhang, Chairman and CEO of Cannae Inc. I will now provide a brief overview of our progress in the first quarter of 2021.
2021年一季度，比特币的价格呢不断创下新高，客户的需求持续增加，同时公司的生产交付逐渐理顺，在以上因素的共同作用下，公司的业绩大幅好转，公司在单季度完成了6148万美元的营收，non-GAAP 的利润达到了2185万美元，相比于2020年全年的3135万美元的亏损，有了极大的改善。
During the quarter, we significantly improved our financial performance as a result of the Bitcoin price rally, increasing customer demand, and a substantial ramp-up of our mining production and deliveries. As such, we reported a total net revenues of $61.5 million and a non-GAAP adjusted net income of $21.9 million in the first quarter of 2021.A significant improvement from a non-GAAP adjusted net loss of $31.4 million in the full year of 2020.
随着新一代机器量产规模持续增加，产品良率稳步提升。随着与代工厂进一步磨合以及芯片制造工艺的改进，到今天为止，我们的芯片性能和良率都已经稳定在一个非常高的水平上。现在二季度已经过去了2/3。在过去的这段时间，我们除了期货交货以及现货销售以外，还签署了大量的远期期货订单，并且对未来12个月的晶圆厂产能进行了锁定。
With the mass production of a new generation of mining machines, our product yield continued to improve. Through the close collaboration with our foundry partners, we have further enhanced our chip manufacturing process. As of today,Such advances have led to industry-leading performances in our chip speed and yield. In the second quarter to date, in addition to our delivery of mining machines, we have also secured a number of large purchase orders of future contracts. Furthermore, we have locked in the fab capacities of our foundry partners for the next 12 months to fulfill these future contracts.
虽然比特币的价格在本季度出现了较大波动，给公司本季度的现货销售带来了一定挑战，但总体来说，我们预计二季度总出货量将较第一季度再有较大幅度的提升。 由于近期各种政策和行业因素的影响，比特币价格波动较大，二季度营收暂时无法精确的预估。我们预计二季度的总营收会在$1.5亿到$2.5亿之间。
Although the Bitcoin price volatility in Q1 created some challenges in sales of mining machines, we expect our Q2 total shipments to either maintain or surpass our current growth rate. Due to the Bitcoin price volatility caused by recent policy and market uncertainties, we are not able to project the total net revenues for the second quarter in a precise manner. Hence, we expect our total net revenues for the second quarter to be in the range of $150 million to $200 million.
矿机销售方面，今年一季度公司延续了自2020年第四季度以来的长线大客户销售策略。截至2021年5月31日，公司总未完结总订单超过14.9万台矿机，总预收款超过$1.9亿。公司的期货订单中，与美股上市公司Milestone 和国际矿业巨头 Genesis 均签署了超过10,000台的矿机采购订单，超过1,000台订单的客户有29家，这部分客户订单占总期货订单数量的94%。这类客户公司的合作普遍基于长期多批次的购买矿机，受币价短期波动影响较小，保证了公司在生产和交付方面的稳定。公司自2020年下半年开始重点布局海外客户，今年截至5月31日，总销售金额中海外销售占比以及在手订单中的海外销售占比都超过了70%。
In terms of mining machine sales strategy, we have reprioritized our sales focus to our long-term and large-scale customers. As of May 31st, 2021, we have had total order volume of over 149,000 mining machines, with over $190 million of total customer transactions. In regards to our future contracts, we have signed purchase orders of more than 10,000 mining machines with both Mawson, a U.S. listed company, and Genesis, an international Bitcoin mining giant. In aggregate, we have had 29 different customers, each with purchase orders of more than 1,000 mining machines, accounting for 94% of our total orders this quarter. Our partnerships with such large-scale customers generally involve multi-batch mining machine purchases over a long period of time. These characteristics have helped us to reduce the impact of short-term fluctuations in cryptocurrency prices and to ensure the stability of our production and delivery schedules. Since the second half of 2020, we have had our focus on overseas customers. As of May 31st, 2021, our overseas revenues accounted for more than 70% of our total net revenues, with purchase orders from overseas markets accounting for more than 70% of our total outstanding purchase orders.
从去年下半年开始，全球半导体供应链的产能紧缺情况已经成为了全球企业遇到的共同挑战。为了保证产品和生产的供应，公司主动与供应商进行了商务谈判，并最终选择向晶圆厂和其他的供应链环节支付更高的单价和更长期的预付款来锁定产能。我们已经向我们的供应商总共支付了大约$2亿的预付款。
Since the second half of last year, capacity shortages in the global semiconductor supply chain have become a common challenge for chip makers around the world. In order to secure the production and supply of our products, we have initiated negotiations with our suppliers, opting to provide them with a higher unit price and longer upfront payments. As of now, we have paid our suppliers a total of approximately $200 million in upfront payments.
另外，公司在四月份以每份$12.6的价格向数家大型基金发行了1,349,000,065份美国存托股 ADS。总计融资$1.7亿，这笔融资配合公司近期所签署的大量长期订单，极大地充沛了公司的现金流，帮助公司更好地控制了供应链，确保了未来产能的充足供应。 接下来公司会继续加强研发力量，加大研发投入，提升产品质量和性能，改善客户服务，拓展更多的业务领域和模式。
Additionally, in April of this year, we completed a direct offering of 13,492,065 of our ADS at $12.6 per ADS for a total amount raised of $170 million. The financial impact through our latest raise and through our recent large purchase orders will considerably enhance our cash position, aid us in supply chain improvements, and enable us to secure sufficient production capacity for future deliveries. Going forward, we will continue to invest in our R&D capabilities to improve the quality and performance of our mining machines. We will also utilize our cash reserves to enhance our customer service capacity and expand our business segments and models.
关于自营挖矿业务，公司呢已经在新加坡设立主体来运营具体的挖矿业务。我们的人员现在正在哈萨克斯坦开展自营挖矿业务的准备工作。在五月下旬呢，第一批矿机已经发出，用于我们的自营挖矿。自营挖矿业务呢，有利于增加公司的财务收益，拓展业务范围和客户群，整合行业资源。在比特币的下行周期中呢，可以盘活公司的矿机库存，减少公司经营的波动风险，同时呢，也有利于公司在比特币上行周期拥有库存储备，能够及时的响应市场突发需求。
In anticipation of self-operated Bitcoin mining, we have already set up a wholly owned subsidiary in Singapore and deployed an operational team in Kazakhstan. In latter part of May of this year,We have also deployed the first batch of mining machines to Kazakhstan for our Bitcoin mining related operations. We believe that our self-operated Bitcoin mining business will help us improve our financial performance as well as expand our business scope and customer base. As we integrate more industry resources into our operations, we believe this business segment will enable us to revitalize our mining machine inventory.Shield us from Bitcoin volatility and ensure our inventory sufficiency during a market upturn.
一季度公司研发投入888万美元，主要用于新产品的研发，继续提升产品的量产能力和良率，拓展产品线和供应链。同时，公司也在大力招聘研发人员。迦南科技始终是一家以研发为核心竞争力的科技公司。
As a technology company, we have always prioritized our investments in R&D as the driver of our core competitiveness. As such, our total R&D investments reached $8.9 million in the first quarter of 2021, with the majority of our R&D investments allocated to develop new products, improve capacity and yield, expand product lines and supply chains, as well as invest in our R&D teams.
AI 业务AI 行业呢还处于市场培育的早期，作为公司的第一代 AI 芯片 K210 从2018年至今创造了骄人的佳绩，在教育机器人、智能家居等领域打开了市场，累计出货47.9万颗。2021年3月，第二颗 AI 芯片 K510 成功流片回来，目前功能测试正常，并预期在下半年投入市场，未来计划拓展多行业，包括高端相机、边缘计算、视频会议等场景，预期前景良好。
Beyond our core mining machine business, we also achieved steady progress in advancing our other business initiatives during the period. The AI industry is still in the early stage of market cultivation. Since launching our first generation of AI chip K210 series in 2018,We have made outstanding progress and continue to gain traction in the market for robotics education and smart homes. We have cumulatively delivered 479,000 of the K210 series AI chips to our customers to date. In March 2021, we finished the chip back process for our second generation of AI chip, the K510 series.We have also completed the main function testing for all functional modules of this series and expect to launch in the second half of this year. As such, we plan to expand our K510 series to multiple application scenarios with a promising outlook that includes high-end cameras, edge computing, video conferencing, and more.
另外，公司注重投入教育公益和开发者社区建设。在近期教育部举办的2021年全国大学生 OS 设计大赛，公司成功成为唯一的技术支持方。全国超过120所高校的学生通过搭载了 K210 芯片的开发板参与了此次大赛。除此之外，堪智 K210 也得到开发者的喜爱，实验性的落地了很多有意思的场景和应用，如智能水电水表、水表电表、眼球跟踪的 VR 的应用、可编程的多足玩具狗等等。
Furthermore, we maintain an emphasis on education sponsorship with the establishment of the developer ecosystem. We recently became the sole technical support provider for the 2021 National Student OS Design Competition, an event organized by China's Ministry of Education. Using development boards equipped with our K210 chips,students from over 120 colleges and universities across China participated in the competition. Concurrently, our Kindred K210 chip also became the chip of choice for developers in many interesting application scenarios, such as smart meter, eye tracking VR applications, programmable robot dog, etc.
公司已经与半导体产业链各个环节建立了深厚的合作关系，这种关系将成为公司未来继续稳步发展的重要支撑。公司也希望以此作为加速发展的动力，接下来为客户、为投资者带来更多的回报。
In summary, we have established in-depth partnerships with various segments of the semiconductors industry value chain. These relationships will play an essential role in supporting our steady business expansion in the future.As we continue to accelerate our growth, we will generate increasing returns for our customers and investors going forward. Now I will turn the call over to Mr. Tong He, our Chief Financial Officer, to go through financial details. Hello everyone, this is Matthew Lee with ICR. I will now speak in English on behalf of Mr. Tong He. Thank you, Nanfeng.Now, I will provide an overview of our first quarter financial results. Before I start, please note that all numbers are in RMB terms, unless otherwise noted. Total net revenues increased to 402.8 million from 68.3 million in the same period of 2020 and 38.2 million in the previous quarter. The increases were due to the increase in our total computing power sold,as we delivered more Bitcoin mining machines in the period. Cost of revenues increased to 208.6 million from 65.9 million in the same period of 2020 and 29.2 million in the previous quarter. The increase in our cost of revenues were in line with the changes in our sales volumes of T-hash and cost per T-hash. As a result,We reported a gross profit of 194.2 million in the first quarter of 2021, compared to 2.4 million in the same period of 2020 and a 9.1 million in the previous quarter. Gross margin further expanded to 48.2% from 3.5% in the same period of 2020 and 23.8% in the previous quarter. Research and development expenses.For 58.2 million, compared to 41.8 million in the same period of 2020 and 40.1 million in the previous quarter. The increases were mainly due to higher share-based compensation expenses, which increased to 24.1 million in the first quarter of 2021 as part of our amended 2018 share incentive plan. The increases were partially offset by the decrease incontractor expenses and other expenses related to our R&D activities during the first quarter of 2021. Let's now take a look at other operating expenses in the first quarter. Selling and marketing expenses were 6.3 million compared to 4.1 million in the same period of 2020 and 6.1 million in the previous quarter. The increases were mainly driven by higher share-based compensation expenses in the first quarter of 2021, partially offset by lowering advertising expenses. Our selling and marketing expenses in the quarter included 3.0 million share-based compensation expenses. General and administrative expenses increased to 143.4 million from 27.6 million in the same period of 2020 and 33.9 million in the previous quarter. General and administrative expenses in the quarter included 114.8 million share-based compensation expenses. Consequently, our loss from operations in the first quarter of 2021 narrowed to 13.7 million from 71.1 million in the same period of 2020 and 71.0 million in the previous quarter. Net income attributable to ordinary shareholders was 1.2 million compared to a loss of 39.9 million in the same period of 2020 and 72.0 million in the previous quarter. Non-GAAP adjusted net income, which excluded share-based compensation expenses, was 143.2 million. In comparison, non-GAAP adjusted net loss was 38.2 million in the same period of 2020 and 73.1 million in the previous quarter. Diluted net earnings per ADS was RMB 0.01 compared to a loss of RMB 0.25 in the same period of 2020 and a loss of RMB 0.46 in the previous quarter. Turning to our balance sheet, contract liability as of March 31st, 2021 increased to 1,210.6 million from 430.4 million as of December 31st, 2020. The increase was driven by the increased down payments for the sales orders of our Bitcoin mining machines, which are scheduled for delivery in the following quarter of 2021. As of March 31st, 2021, we have cash and cash equivalents of 1,337.8 million, compared to 391.3 million as of December 31st, 2020. Short-term investments as of March 31st, 2021, decreased to 8.5 million from 62.4 million as of December 31st, 2020, as we redeemed a portion of our short-term financial products during the period. We purchased the short-term financial products to receive higher returns, but at the same time, can withdraw at any time. Looking ahead into the second quarter of 2021, as we have begun mass producing our new generation of Bitcoin mining machines, we believe that our product yields and deliveries will substantially increase on a year-over-year basis. However, the volatility in Bitcoin pricing in late May of this year has made it difficult to predict the future trends in Bitcoin prices. As a result, we will not provide a financial guidance for the coming quarter. This concludes our prepared remarks for today. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Certainly, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, you can press the pound or hash key. Once again, it is star 1 to ask a question. When asking a question, please state your question in Chinese first, then immediately repeat your question in English for the convenience of everyone on this call. Once again, it is star followed by the number 1 to ask a question. We have the first question. This is coming from the line of Akita Elkin from China Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. 感谢管理层接受我的提问。我这边主要有三个问题针对政策的层面。第一个问题的话就是想请教一下管理层如何看待国内金融监管层面对于比特币挖矿行业以及公司层面的一个影响。 I'm going to translate myself quickly. My first question is about how do you consider the impact of financial regulation on the Bitcoin mining industry and companies like Canon? Thank you.
我来回答这个问题。政策层面来看的话呢，我觉得任何一个新兴的行业成长，它都需要经受市场和合规化的双重考验。2020年以来的话呢，整个全球市场对于比特币为代表的加密货币的这个接纳程度是持续提升的。比特币呢，在市场层面上呢，经历了从这个经受质疑到获得认可，经历了非常漫长的时间。同样呢，在政策层面呢，比特币和挖矿的行业呢，也需要经历一段合规化的进程。
In terms of policy environment, I believe every new and emerging industry is subjected to the testing of market evolution and regulatory compliance. Since 2020, cryptocurrency represented by the Bitcoin is increasingly accepted by the market. The Bitcoin has gone through a long process for being doubted to be recognized by the market. Similarly, in terms of regulatory supervision, I believe the Bitcoin and the mining industry also need to go through a process of regulatory compliance.
加密货币的挖矿行业的特殊性呢，在于它不仅仅是一个技术驱动的产业，它还具备强烈的金融属性。央行副行长李波近期在博鳌亚洲论坛表示呢，如果将比特币作为一种投资工具，需要研究监管政策，以确保这种活动不会造成金融风险。这里更多的指向的呢是金融欺诈这些扰乱正常市场秩序的行为，以及避免个人投机风险向社会传递。所以呢，金融监管对于比特币矿业呢，应该说是建设性的，而不是破坏性的。从长期来看的话呢，金融监管政策是有利于加密货币行业健康有序发展的。
The particularity of the cryptocurrency mining industry is the combination of technology driven and strong financial feature. As the vice president of the PBOC, Mr. Li Bo, expressed at the Boao Forum for Asia recently, if we consider Bitcoin as an investment instrument,we need to develop regulatory policies to efficiently manage potential financial risks, which mainly refer to 1. Activities to cause market disorder, such as financial fraud, and 2. Preventing individual investment risks from extending into the overall financial system. As such, we believe regulatory supervision is constructive to the development of the Bitcoin mining industry, not destructive.In the long run, regulatory supervision is positive for the healthy and orderly development of the industry.
从市场层面看呢，目前加南科技的客户呢，主要是海外机构，包括上市公司、老牌矿业公司以及专业的这个基金机构等等。国内的监管政策呢，可能会导致一些国内的矿工或者代理商呢，向海外的中小矿工抛售矿机。从而呢，可能会对目前的海外矿机市场定价呢，也造成一些扰动。整体而言的话呢，中国公司的客户呢，主要是大型机构和专业挖矿公司。而且呢，这些大批量的矿机的预收款项呢，可以平滑国内矿机的抛售，对于公司业务造成了短期波动。
From the market perspective, currently majority of our customers are overseas companies.Including public companies, well-established mining companies, and professional financial institutions. Policy changes in China might cause some domestic mining companies or vendors to undersell Bitcoin mining machines to medium and small miners abroad, which will cause price volatility of mining machines in international markets. Majority of our customers are large-scale institutions and professional mining companies.The large amount of upfront payments received from these customers will enable us to smoothen the price volatility caused by the underselling of mining machines.
就是这样。
哦，谢谢关律师。第二个问题的话，其实还是政策层面，但更多的从海外的一个角度，您刚刚也提到海外这块可能对于公司而言也是承担着越来越重要的作用。那从海外各国政府对于比特币的一个态度来看，目前咱们所看到的一个趋势，以及就是您会认为比特币和挖矿行业会在全球范围内迎来一波更严格的一个监管的一个潮流吗？My second question is, what is the attitude of overseas governments towards cryptocurrency currently? Will Bitcoin and Bitcoin mining face tightened regulation globally?
我来回答。世界的主要经济体呢，对于比特币的监管其实一直都是存在的。但是呢，大多数的这个经济体呢，对这个比特币呢，其实持的是一个发展的视角。全球这个257个经济体中呢，根据这个 CoinDesk 的一些统计吧，现在有132个经济体认为比特币是合法的，并没有对它加以限制，占比呢超过52%。现在呢只有14个经济体认为比特币是非法的，或者是对其进行限制。
The supervision on Bitcoin from world's major economies has long been existed.Most economies hold a developmental perspective. According to the statistics of CoinDesk, among 257 economies in the world, over 52% or 132 economies currently recognize Bitcoin as legal currency and do not impose restrictions on it. Only 14 economies consider Bitcoin illegal and restricted.
超过60%的经济体呢认可这个比特币的货币属性。从全球各经济体呢对于这个比特币性质的认定上来看，超过60%的经济体呢认为比特币呢有某种程度的货币属性，比如可以用来作为支付。而且接近30%的经济体呢将其视为商品，超过10%的经济体呢将其作为财产来看待。
In terms of the nature of Bitcoin, more than 60% of the economies believe that it has monetary properties, which means it could be used as a means of payment. Nearly 30% of the economies regard it as a commodity. More than 10% of the economies treat it as property.
近期呢也有不少国家，比如说土耳其和印度呢，就纷纷表示可能会加入到对比特币进行限制甚至禁止的这种经济体之列。这个原因呢，我觉得主要是疫情的冲击呢可能使这个经济体的增长状况有所恶化，而国内的这个通胀水平呢又开始抬头，所以呢我觉得各经济体对于比特币的监管态度呢会随着时间发生变化。
Recently, many countries such as Turkey and IndiaContended that they may join the list of economies who restrict or prohibit Bitcoin, since the epidemic has worsened the growth of their economies, their domestic inflation has clearly risen. The attitude towards Bitcoin regulation of these economies varies over time.
就是这样。
感谢管理。第三个问题的话，主要是针对这个近期可能有一些海内外的这种意见领袖层面的话，对于比特币挖矿高耗能层面也提出来一些自己的这个担忧，然后这个层面不知道咱们是怎么看待的，以及就是像近期像内蒙古的话也有叫停当地的矿场，这个您会不会觉得有可能引起国内其他省份的这种连锁的一个反应？My third question is, so recently a few opinion leaders, both domestically and also internationally,have raised their concerns about the high energy consumption of Bitcoin mining. So what do you think of this kind of deal? And also, will the closing down of Bitcoin mining farms in Inner Mongolia cause a chain reaction in other provinces in China? 谢谢管理层。
好。内蒙古呢，这个对这个虚拟货币挖矿企业呢，这个进行这个打击呢，我觉得不是一个新的动作，其实这个很长时间就是这样了。以前的话呢，新疆也颁布过类似的政策。目前的话呢，比特币挖矿的行业的发展呢，它主要是会依赖于价格低廉的这种电力资源。这个资源呢，从类型上区分呢，有火电和水电这两种。 西北地区呢是以火电为主，火力发电呢和这个碳中和内在的这个环保原则呢是背道而驰的，我觉得这个就是内蒙古去清退当地矿场的一个原因之一。
The establishment of a whistleblower platform for digital currency mining companies in Inner Mongolia is not a new move. Xinjiang has issued similar policies before. At present, the development of the Bitcoin mining industry relies on low-cost power resources. There are two main types of resources, thermal power and hydropower. The northern-western region is dominated by thermal power.which is against the inherent environmental protection principle of carbon neutrality. This is one of the fundamental reasons for the withdrawal of local mines in Inner Mongolia.
第二点呢，很多挖矿的企业打着云计算数据中心的旗号进行挖矿活动，变相享受了国家的这个政策补贴，但是并没有履行相应的社会责任。我觉得对于这部分企业的清退呢，有助于国内挖矿企业运营的规范化。
Secondly, many mining companies engage in mining activities pretending to be data centers, enjoying policy subsidies granted by the country, but failing to fulfill their corresponding social responsibilities. The withdrawal of these companies will help standardize the operations of domestic mining companies.
虽然说呢，挖矿产业消耗电能，但是呢，它很大程度上利用了废弃的电能。出于盈利的目的呢，矿工会优先选择电价低的区域从事挖矿活动。而电价低呢，恰恰说明当地的电能的供给是大于实际需求的，存在这个能源浪费的这种情况。所以呢，在没有出现有效的去消纳这种废弃电能的手段之前呢，比特币矿业是把气电转化成价值存储的一个解决方案。
Although the mining industry consumes electricity, it uses waste electricity to a large extent. Miners prefer to choose areas with low electricity prices to engage in mining activities out of profit-making purposes.The low electricity price indicates that the local power supply is greater than the actual demand, and there is a waste of energy. Before the emergence of effective means to dissipate waste electricity, Bitcoin mining is a solution to transform waste electricity into a store of value.
目前呢，国内许多加密货币挖矿地区，比如说西北和西南地区呢，都存在一些弃电的现象。比特币挖矿呢，对于贫困地区的财政、就业、居民收入等等是有不小的帮助，也有助于新能源设施呢获得收益，并且进一步的去扩大规模。
At present, certain degree of power abandonment exists in many mining areas in China, such as the northwest and southwest regions. Bitcoin mining has contributed a lot to the finances, employment, and income of residents.In poverty areas. It also helps new energy facilities to generate income and further expand their scale.
就是这样，谢谢。
Hope that answers your question.
That was helpful, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question. This is coming from Martin Chen from 10 Assets. Please go ahead.
哎，管理层好，请问听得见吗？
可以。
哎，你好，我这边有几个问题。第一个问题是有关于我们这个第二季的营收成长还是很不错。那我想要知道我们目前的这个output 以及我们的价格的状况在第二季。可能如果不方便说，可以跟我们讲一个，比如说跟第一季的相比的趋势。我翻译一下。We still have good revenue growth in the second quarter.Maybe you can give us some color of the second quarter mining machine output and the price compared to the first quarter 2021.
是这样，就说根据这个我们在这个上一季度的那个给大家说明吧，我们第二季度 基本上还是以这个70到80以上是以这个期货订单的交付为主。但是呢，因为我们的这个供应链，还有产能，还有良率这些呢，都有很大的改善，所以呢，我们的这个产品产出的这个数量有比较大的提升，我们现在预计呢，第二季度出货量会比这个第一季度高这个3倍以上。
As we discussed last quarter, we still expect 70% to 80% of our Q2 orders to be future contracts.Driven by our optimizing supply chain, continuous ramp up of our capacity, and improvement of product yield, our product throughput has been considerably elevated. As a result, we expect the shipment of mining machines in Q2 to be more than triple from that in Q1.
大概是这样，对，谢谢。
那有关于价格的部分呢？我们也知道最近这个比特币波动的比较厉害，那这个对我们这个价格有什么影响吗？就是在第二季或是在下半年。Do we see any impact on the Bitcoin price fluctuation in the second quarter or second half 2021?
OK， 关于价格呢，其实大家最近看到了比特币的价格呢出现了比较大的波动和回撤。市场上的这个观点呢也比较多，但是呢，我觉得从矿工的综合收益角度来说呢，依然这个收益是比较高的，在大多数的情况下呢，矿机的这个运行费用和整体收入的比例呢都是没有超过1/3，另外的话呢，因为最近这个政策的变化，然后还有就是中国现在枯水期和丰水期的进行转换。所以呢，最近比特币的全网算力呢也有所下降，所以呢，目前矿工的这个挖矿综合收益呢，实际上下降的幅度是很小的，它是远低于比特币回撤的这个幅度的。
Recently, we have observed considerable fluctuation and retracement of the Bitcoin price, and also heard different voices on the market. The overall return for Bitcoin miners remains at a relatively high level.Under most circumstances, the cost of mining machines does not exceed 1/3 of a miner's income. In addition, total computing power of the Bitcoin network declined recently due to policy change in China and the transition between dry and wet season. There is a minor decline of overall return for miners, but the change is significantly less than the retracement of Bitcoin prices.
这个矿机的价格走势呢，受多种因素的影响，在这个没有政策因素影响的前提下，基本矿机的价格是和它的收益强关联的。但是呢，因为最近一段时间呢，一些政策的不确定性和这个比特币价格的这个波动呢，近期呢，国内市场的观望气氛是比较浓厚的。国内矿工现在在考虑这个出海。这个呢也造成了海外一些二手机的供给预期呢突然增加了，这就造成了供需关系的一些短期的波动。从这个经验和市场现状来看的话呢，现阶段政策不明朗以及这个币价波动带来的主要影响呢，其实不是售价，不仅仅是售价，它影响的是这个客户什么时候下单的决策。总体来说的话，国内的客户呢现在需要等待这个监管靴子的落地。而这个海外的客户呢，他其实在等这个币价企稳，所以从目前的情况，就今天的情况来看的话呢，海外的客户已经基本上恢复了正常的期货现货的下单，从价格来看的话呢，影响是存在的，但不是特别大，期货价格因为本来就不是特别高，我觉得基本上没有受太大的影响，现货的价格呢，其实主要受的是币价变动的影响，和这个。比特币60000美元时候的这个高点相比的话呢，目前现货价格有20%到30%的下幅。
The price of mining machines depends on multiple factors. Without considering the impact of policy change, we see a strong correlation between the price of mining machines and the return of mining. However, the recent policy uncertainties and the volatility of Bitcoin prices.Have cultivated an overwhelming watching atmosphere in our domestic market. as domestic miners consider going abroad, overseas demand for second-hand mining machines boomed, which caused a short-term turbulence in market supply and demand. From our experience and current market situation, we believe the major impact from policy uncertainty and fluctuating Bitcoin price is not the price of mining machine itself, but the timing of placing purchase orders. While domestic customers wait for a clearer policy environment, overseas customers incline to a more stable Bitcoin price. Currently, most of our overseas customers have resumed ordering for spot sales or futures contracts, and the impact on overall price is not material, especially minor on the price of futures contracts. Depending largely on the Bitcoin price, current price of mining machines for spot sales is 20 to 30% lower compared with that when Bitcoin price was $60,000.
希望回答您问题了，谢谢。非常清楚。那有关于这个出货的问题，您刚说我们第二季已经相较于第一季有三倍的提升，那我们怎么看我们下半年这个是可以继续提升的吗？ About our shipment, we already tripled our shipment in the second quarter compared to first quarter. Can we continue to increase shipment in the second half?
这个问题是这样，其实我们今年全年的机器产量的话呢，我觉得大概会在30万台左右，因为还有半年，所以，这是一个预估的一个数字，就是30万台左右，但是可能您关心的，比如说这个收入或者利润的指标的话呢，它，确实和这个比特币的价格有比较大的关联。所以我觉得现在很难说一个全年的数字啊，但是因为产能我们可以控制的，所以这个数字可以给出，对，是这样的。
In terms of our total shipments in this year, we currently expected to be around 300,000 Bitcoin mining machines delivered to our customers in this year. However, in terms of revenue and profit.We are not able to give you a clear guidance at this point, since they are closely related to the price of Bitcoin.
主要我们现在目前这个看起来的获利率还是受这个币价影响比较大，所以我也想请关一腾讲一下，我们长期来看的话，我们怎么样就是摆脱这个受我们的获利率受币价影响的。的状况，还是说我们这个长期来就是没办法，对，不知道我们有没有什么对策去对应这个币价的波动。I also want to know, do we have any strategy to get rid of the Bitcoin cycle and maintain the profitability for a long time?
这是一个好问题啊。首先我觉得我们所在的行业呢是一个高速发展的新兴行业，收益稳定呢不应该是我们最高优先级的一个经营目标。目前呢我们努力的是去最大化我们的收益，然后呢去控制，同时呢去控制亏损的风险。我觉得在之前的话呢，我们公司的商业模式是比较简单的，产品线也比较单一，我觉得无法避免的就是公司的经营状况呢就会受比特币的涨跌影响极大，有时候呢相对于比特币的这个涨跌幅度呢还放大了这个涨跌，所以的话呢为了逐步解决这个问题呢，增加和稳定我们的收益呢，我们还是有一些办法。
This is a very good question.Firstly, as we are in a fast developing emerging new industry, we believe stable profitability is not the top priority of our business operation. We are working on maximizing our profits and managing the risks of losses at the same time. Our operating performance used to be significantly affected by the change of Bitcoin price. The impact was sometimes even magnified on our operating performance. This is natural due to the simplicity of our business model and product line. As a result, we have carried out the following initiatives to increase and stabilize our profitability.
第一呢，就是客户和销售模式的选择，选择长期客户呢，然后和上下游签署长期的供货协议，稳定我们的供应链，销售还有这个利润，预留一定的比例作为现货，这样的话呢，可以在这个稳定的前提下呢，在市场行情好的时候，也能给公司增加这个收益。
Yeah, the first initiative is the selection of customers and sales models. We enter into long-term supply agreements with selected customers and suppliers to stabilize our supply chain, sales, and profits. And we also reserve a small portion of the mining machines for spot sales in market upturn to increase our profitability.
第二呢，就是开展新的商业模式。现在最简单的方式就是增加经营挖矿的业务。这个业务呢，实际上是从单纯的硬件设备制造到能够分享区块链行业发展红利的重要的一步。除了刚才所讲过的能够带来的优势以外，它是本行业衍生商业模式，比如说算力租赁、云算力销售，甚至这个算力合约的基础。实际上呢，行业发展到今天呢，挖矿的门槛已经非常非常高了。可能对于这个大多数在像在聆听电话会的这个投资者来说呢，都有足够的资金，但是呢，却不具备建设和运行一个数千万美元投资规模的这种大规模场地的资源和能力。这个呢，从实质上是阻止了投资的。所以呢，单纯的硬件销售的这个商业模式呢，已经过时了。我们现在呢，在努力让硬件加服务的模式，甚至是这个纯服务的，也就是这个所谓的这个 MaaS， 就是 Mining as a Service， 尽快的成为主流。
Our second initiative is to expand into new business segments, such as self-operated mining business, to diversify our business model.This is a critical segment for a hardware manufacturer to share the development dividend of the blockchain industry. In addition, as a disruptive business model of the blockchain industry, it is the fundamentals for computing power leasing, cloud computing sales, and even computing power contracts. As the industry evolves, the entry barriers for cryptocurrency mining has become too high for most participants on our call today to build and operate a tens of millions of dollars large-scale mining facility. This entry barrier has essentially discouraged investment in this field. The business model of pure hardware manufacturing is out of date. We should promote the hardware plus service model or even pure service model of mining as a service.or MaaS to become the mainstream model.
第三点呢，就是多元化。本质上呢，迦南是一家芯片公司，我们的这个核心竞争力呢是芯片设计和量产的能力。基于本身的技术和资金的优势呢，如果把这一切呢都限制在挖矿这个领域呢，就比较亏。所以呢，我们在发展技术同源，但是应用完全不同的这个 AI 的端侧和边缘芯片这个领域。虽然目前呢这块业务所在的行业呢仍然处于一个市场培育的早期，但是呢公认的是 AI 呢是未来重要而且有巨大市场潜力的行业啊，我们在这个这些机会呢只会留给这个有准备的这个公司。
And the third point is diversification. Essentially, we are a chip company. Our core competence is the capability of designing chips and the massive production of it.It'll be too narrow if we limit our technological advantage and strong balance sheet only in the development of mining chips. As such, we are developing homologous technologies to be applied to completely different AI devices and edge AI chips. Although this new business segment is still in the early stage of market cultivation, it is generally acknowledged.That AI chip is an important industry in the future with huge market potential. We hope to be prepared for potential business opportunities in the future.
希望回答您的问题了。谢谢。
Thank you. for this help.
我再问一下矿机，我们下一代矿机的状况。目前的话，我们是预期在哪边生产呢？比如说台积电，或是持续在中芯国际这边。然后有没有一个时间点？我们什么时候会发表我们下一代的矿机？We would like to know, how is our current next generation machine progress? Which foundry are we cooperating with, and which node are we using?And any roughly schedule for participation?
好的，对于这个矿机芯片来说的话呢，因为我们现在是这个多晶晶圆厂和多工艺同时迭代，然后混合量产的原因呢，现在为了不给这个市场造成这个困惑呢，目前我们不会按照每一款芯片去这个单独的发布。另外的话呢，就是说，研发呢都有不确定性，所以呢，这个问题回答内容呢，大概就是预期啊，很有可能有变化，就根据市场各方面，所以仅供参考啊，就先供参考。
In order to avoid causing confusions for the market, we normally don't separately launch a single new chip due to the simultaneous iteration of technologies and massive production by multiple foundry partners. Uncertainty is always associated with any R&D project. As such, there might be change to our following discussions and expectations.
现有的工艺呢，我们第二次的迭代研发和投片呢已经完成了。下半年呢会逐步开始这个换代。综合的话呢，在性能、成本、功耗这些指标的一个综合的改善呢，会在10%-15%，和现有的销售的产品相比。
The next generation chip is the second iteration of our existing technology. We expect it to gradually adopt the next generation chip in the second half of this year. Compared with current products, we expect the overall improvement to be 10-15% in terms of performance.Cost and power consumption.
现有代工厂的这个再下一代工艺呢，研发进度呢，现在的测试片，全功能的这种测试片已经投了，量产的话呢，取决于代工厂的安排，初步看呢会在明年，产品从这个综合来看的话呢，和现在的产品相比呢，会改善在20%-30%。
In terms of the R&D process of the next generation chip.By our foundry partners, the full function testing chips have been put into production, and mass production is up to the foundry partner's schedule. Current expectation is next year. Compared with current products, we expect overall improvement to be in the range of 20-30%.
现在除了这个现有代工厂以外呢，比如说这个五纳米这边的研发进度。我觉得五纳米产品应该在明年。现在呢，研发的不是最大的问题，现在这个周期太长和这个产能受限呢，其实是一个比较大的问题。
In addition, we're also in the process of developing the 5-nanometer chip. We expect to launch N5 product in next year. Instead of the challenges of the R&D itself.The long process and capacity constraint are the major obstacles for its launching.
然后在像比如说三星这边的话呢，我觉得矿机的芯片的晶圆需求量很大，现在的晶圆的供给量很紧张，基本上呢是以这个插空利用，这个晶圆厂的剩余产能为主。在这个我觉得矿机芯片的在晶圆厂优先级并不是特别高。所以呢，现在我们这个只要是拥有这个先进制程产线的这个晶圆厂，都是我们非常重要的这个潜在的合作的对象。所以呢，今年这个因为去年我们在三星的这个8纳米的工艺上面，我们的产品的和性能成本表现都是不错的。受限于今年的这边三星的产能有限呢，就是我们的生产中断了几个月的时间。但是今年晚些时候呢，我们也会在这个三星更新的这个制程上呢，会有新的产品设计出来。
In terms of our cooperation with Samsung, The manufacturing of mining chip requires large volume wafers. Under the current supply shortages of wafers, we are only able to utilize foundry's surplus capacity from time to time. As such, our demand is not prioritized by the foundry partners. Foundries have multiple cutting-edge fabrication production lines, are important potential partners for us. The performance and cost of our 8 nanometers chip produced by Samsung was very good. Limited by Samsung's capacity constraint, we suspended our cooperation for several months in this year. We plan to resume our cooperation with Samsung for the production of our new chip in later this year or next year.
矿机整体现在的这个大的战略规划呢，目前主流的这个就 POW 的币呢，只有 BTC、ETH 和这个就是 LTC 和 Doge 这边这三个吧，其他的这个市场占有率比较小。目前呢，我们除了传统的这个 BTC 以外的话呢，这个 ETH 的矿机也在研发中。因为我们现在追求的这个性能呢，是对比主流的这种 GPU 方案呢，有一到两个数量级的提升。所以呢，这个技术方案也是非常复杂，开发难度也比较大。预期的话呢，是在明年产品才能够面世。从今年的这个芯片产能情况看呢，我觉得可能全行业都比较难去大量生产这个 ETH 的矿机。因为这个 ETH 矿机呢，对于这个logic 的 wafer、DRAM 的这个 wafer 还有 packaging 这边呢，都有巨大的需求。今年的话，我觉得这些资源现在都是不具备的。
Yeah, for our strategic plan of developing mining machines, currently the mainstream POW coins included only the Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin. In addition to our existing Bitcoin mining machines, we are developing mining machines for Ethereum or ETH.We hope to improve the performance of the new machine by 1 to 2 orders of magnitude compared with the current mainstream GPU. As a result, the R&D of new ETH mining machines is complicated and difficult. So we expect to launch our ETH mining machine next year. In light of the current supply shortages on the market, We think it's difficult for anyone in the industry to put ETH mining machines into mass production in this year. Due to the severe short of supply for logic wafers, DRAM wafers and package.
希望回答您问题了，谢谢。
Thank you.
非常清楚 ,Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question. This is coming from the line of Dan Viscop from Torso Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, I don't speak Chinese, so I'm going to just thank you for trying to give the transparency on this call and answer all the great questions.Congratulations on a good quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me translate for the management.
That was my only question. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question. This is coming from the line of Craig Ellis from B. Riley Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question, and I will ask for help in translating the following. First, regarding the order intake that the company is seeing, I believe that's leading to the company believing it can ship 300,000 units this year. But the question is really on 2022 are you taking orders currently for 2022 shipments, and can you quantify the magnitude of orders that you might have taken year-to-date for next year?
Thank you for your question.
Okay, this is Edward Lura, responsible for overseas sales. Yes, the question is sure. We have taken orders in June 2022, quarter one. This answer helps you or not?
It does, but I was hoping you could also quantify the degree of orders that you've taken for 2022 in addition to whether you're taking them or not.
Yes, we have taken orders for, in fact, in the pre-order sales, as Nangan Zhang, the chairman and CEO mentioned in these previous sayings, 2021 we have pre-orders. Also, we have pre-orders for quarter one for 2021 every month with a long-term overseas partners as well by monthly phasing, so very well-organized monthly phasing orders, which of course helps us a lot in the allocation of production capacity and also stable our business pipelines. Thank you.
That's helpful. I have a second question, if I could. In the press release, the company disclosed there was a $56 million order cancellation in the calendar second quarter. And the question is, related to that order cancellation, can those systems be redeployed to other customers, or would those systems be redeployed to the company's internal mining operation? Can you just confirm what happened with the systems associated with that order cancellation?
A cancellation of one of our customers in North America. And of course, customers has the right to decide to purchase or to cancel. And also, this cancellation doesn't impact our business, as you know, the miners' sales and demand, you can see from the report, are stable and healthy. Thank you.
That's also helpful.
Mr. Zhang,
if I could ask,
that's a mandatory question.
Go ahead.
因为现在就是说在这个现在是一个供不应求的一个情况，然后呢，尤其是在今年的这个就是三四季度，所以说这个事件本身的话呢，它对这个公司的这个财务状况呢是有一个更正面影响，因为我们用这个比较高的价格呢，现在已经把这个相当于把这个货签署新的合同。
In light of the current short of supply situation on the market, especially for the second half of the year, we actually see the cancellation of this certain customer as a positive impact on our full year performance, since we already signed a contract with a new customer at a higher price. Thank you.
Okay. No, that's very helpful and opportunistic. Finally, I just wanted to get some further color on some of the supply dynamics in the market. The company indicated that its pre-booked capacity with foundry suppliers in the back half of the year. If demand continues to grow through the year, can you get upside to your current capacity for this year and exceed the unit shipment target of 300,000 rigs? Thank you.
Cool. Let me take a second to translate for the management.
我来回答一下这个问题。今年的总体产能呢，我认为已经不太可能有这个有希望去增加了。但是我们能做的话，就是继续改善良率和提升性能，这样呢就可以交付更多的这个 terahash 给客户。对于这个整体的这个晶圆产能的提升的话呢，我认为明年是还是有希望的。但是今年的话，其实希望不太大，就这样。
Yeah, actually, we don't see further potential for increasing manufacturing capacity in this year, given the supply and demand situation on the market. What we can do actually is to increase and improve the performance and yield of our products. So that will enable us to deliver more terahash to our customers. In terms of the manufacturing capacity, we hope we will be able to lock in more capacity to address the increasing market demand in next year. Thank you.
Thank you for taking the questions.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this moment. I will hand the call back to the management for any closing remarks. Take over.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. If you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you. Bye-bye.